I'd like to welcome all of you who were able to get here despite the parade this morning. Okay. I'll be talking about structural level interventions to increase needle syringe access for people who inject drugs in low and middle income countries. Just as a little bit of background, there have been a number of reviews of needle syringe programs conducted by the U.S. government in particular, but about 95% of the data in those come from high-income countries, and most of the injecting drug users in the world live in low- and middle-income countries. So whether needle syringe programs work in the context of intense stigmatization of drug users and limited resources becomes an important question for HIV prevention. There are no conflict of interest financial relationships to report. If you work with needle syringe programs, it's very, very hard to find any conflict of interest. As I mentioned, HIV and hepatitis C are an important problem in low and middle income countries. HIV has surpassed 20% among injecting populations in many countries. Clearly, the sharing of needles and syringes is a very efficient method for transmitting both viruses. In order to address the problem of HIV and HCV transmission among people to inject drugs, needle and syringe programs need to address factors that are external to the individual. You can't just work with individuals. You have to think in terms of structural changes in the society in which you alter the risk environment, the context in which people who inject drugs. This often requires changes in policies or laws regarding the possession of injection equipment and to increase needle syringe access at the community level rather than just for individuals. To date, there have been reviews that have examined changes in bloodborne infection among people who inject drugs at the individual level. This really focuses at the population level. And this review is specifically focused on low and middle income countries as defined by the World Bank classification. There has not yet been a review focusing on low and middle income countries. And as I mentioned, about 95% of the studies that have been included in previous reviews are from high income countries. So the objective is to assess what happens with structural level needle syringe programs in low and middle income countries. Okay. We did a standard systematic literature review, including searches in the standard electronic databases, and we also searched the gray literature, including country reports of cases of HIV or HCV infection. To be included in this review, the needle syringe program had to cover at least 50% of the local drug injecting population. We were not interested in trying to review pilot studies that would be covering a small percentage of the population. As I mentioned, we're interested in structural level interventions. We also required that at least 10 to 15 syringes per injector per year had to be provided by the needle syringe program. Again, we wanted to exclude pilot studies and look at really public health level interventions. We wanted changes in HIV or HCV prevalence or incidence measured by a biomarker, measured by laboratory testing. We excluded studies where either HCV or HIV was measured only by self-report. And we, finally, the sample in the study had to be at least 90 to 95% injectors. We found, you know, many studies that included non-injectors as part of the sample. We required that at least 90 to 95% of the sample had to be people who were injecting drugs. Okay. We included primary studies out of the research literature as well as national surveillance reports typically developed by ministries of health. And we required that the studies had data during the period where NSP was implemented or expanded. So we had to have information on either HIV or HCV before expansion and then after expansion of the needle syringe program. And the surveillance data had to include people who inject drugs with specific data for people who inject drugs. Okay. We found a total of 12 studies examining 13 low and middle income countries that met our eligibility criteria. The main reasons why various studies had to be excluded was that they didn't have longitudinal data on HIV or HCV, or they didn't have data on the size of the needle syringe program. There was no information on the percentage of the population that was covered or the number of needles and syringes per injector. The 13 countries included Bangladesh, Brazil, China, Estonia, Iran, Lithuania, Taiwan, Thailand, and Vietnam. In 7 of the 9 locations that analyzed HIV prevalence, there was a decrease in prevalence after implementation of the needle syringe program. All 3 of the locations that analyzed hepatitis C prevalence reported decreases, while 1 location analyzing hepatitis C incidence saw a stabilization of incidence during implementation and expansion. And 3 of the 4 countries with national surveillance data showed decreases in the numbers of newly reported HIV cases among injecting drug users during implementation and expansion. So overall, the results were really quite consistent with the data from high-income countries that usually, not always, but in the great majority of cases, you saw a decrease in hepatitis C or HIV prevalence associated with the expansion of the needle syringe program. This is the individual level data, and you can see that there are fairly substantial changes in many of the cases of HIV prevalence, with a few exceptions, Brazil and Bangladesh, although the Bangladesh is started at a very small baseline, and the authors of that report said that the increase in HIV was really due to sexual transmission of HIV and not needle-borne transmission. For hepatitis C prevalence, you saw, again, changes in prevalence in a positive direction, a decrease in prevalence, although these were rather modest. Okay. We also looked at national surveillance data. As I mentioned, the number of newly reported cases among injectors. And here you see some, fairly dramatic reduction in the number of newly reported cases. For Iran, from 2,300 down to 400, Taiwan, 1,700 down to about 100. Lithuania actually showed an increase. That was attributed to a decrease in funding during the last year. And in Vietnam, there was also a substantial decrease from 11,000 down to about 8,000. So the great majority of the studies from needle and syringe programs in these low and middle income countries are showing reductions in HIV or HCV prevalence. There were plausible explanations for most of the exceptions to the general rule. In Lithuania, I mentioned that the funding for needle syringe programs was drastically reduced in the last year of the study. In Brazil, Porto Alegre, there was late implementation of the needle syringe program, which was associated with the increase in HCV prevalence. And in Dhaka, Bangladesh, the early implementation led to reductions in bloodborne infection, but then we saw an increase as a result of high-risk sexual behavior among people who inject drugs. There are, of course, major limitations to any observational study like this. We do not have data on the number of new people starting to inject or the number of old injectors who may be dying because of AIDS or stopping to use drugs or implementation of heart or other harm reduction efforts that may have been going on in these countries. All of those might have affected prevalence and incidence. For many countries, we simply weren't able to get coverage information, so that we had to use city-level analysis. And in many low- and middle-income countries, the epidemic of HIV among people who inject drugs is relatively recent, and there isn't long-term data that would allow us to examine trends in incidence or prevalence over time. Nevertheless, despite these limitations, the evidence from the low- and middle-income countries is really quite consistent with the evidence from high-income countries that large-scale needle and syringe programs implemented at a structural level with high coverage reaching at least 50% of the people who inject and giving out at least 10 to 15 syringes per injector per year can lead to substantial reductions in HIV and HCV prevalence. Clearly, greater depth is needed to understand how these programs work and how they might be improved, but it is very encouraging to see that we're getting results in resource-constrained environments that are comparable to the results we get in high-income countries. Okay, thank you.